The disaster was as much cultural as demographic. The Maya continued to exist by the million, but their central cities did not. Morley, the Harvard archaeologist, documented the cultural disintegration when he discovered that Maya inscriptions with long count dates rise steadily in number from the first known example at Mutal in 292 AD, peak in about 790, and cease altogether in 909. The decline tracks the Maya priesthood's steady loss of the scientific expertise necessary to maintain its complex calendars. The fall has been laid at the door of overpopulation, overuse of natural resources, and drought. It is true that the Maya were numerous. Archaeologists agree that more people lived in the heartland in 800 AD than today. And the Maya indeed had stretched the meager productive capacity of their homeland. The evidence for drought is compelling, too. Four independent lines of evidence: ethnohistoric data, correlations between Yucatan rainfall and measured temperatures in Western Europe, measurements of oxygen variants in lake sediments associated with drought, and studies of titanium levels in the Caribbean floor, which are linked to rainfall, indicate that the Maya heartland was hit by a severe drought at about the time of its collapse. Water levels receded so deeply, the archaeologist Richardson Gill argued in 2000, that starvation and thirst killed millions of Maya. There was nothing they could do. There was nowhere they could go. Their whole world, as they knew it, was in the throes of a burning, searing, brutal drought. There was nothing to eat. Their water reservoirs were depleted, and there was nothing to drink. The image is searing. A profligate, overextended people, unable to overcome the anger of nature. Yet Gill's critics questioned whether this view bore any resemblance to reality. The Maya realm had been thickly settled for 1,000 years, and the Maya had wrung a living from its unpromising soils for even longer, weathering many dry spells along the way. The notion that they would have folded before the first severe drought seems implausible. More important, the collapse did not occur in the pattern one would expect if drought were the cause. In general, the wetter southern cities fell first and hardest. Meanwhile, northern cities like Chichen Itza, Uxmal, and Coba not only survived the dearth of rain, they prospered. In the north, in fact, the areas with the poorest natural endowments and the greatest susceptibility to drought were the most populous and successful. How and why, then, asked Bruce H. Dollins, an archaeologist at Howard University, did the onset of prolonged drought conditions simultaneously produce a disaster in the southern and central lowlands, where one would least expect it, and continued growth and development in the north, again where one would least expect it? Dollins argued in 2002 that Chichen Itza had adapted to the drought by instituting sweeping economic, military, political, and religious changes. Previous Maya states had been run by all-powerful monarchs who embodied the religion and monopolized trade.